Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, welcome in. Winning cures everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
Madam, I guess I get to say that. I get to be a part of the whole thing, man. This is awesome.
Absolutely. We're running the whole shebang today. We've got Adam Amin from ESPN in with us today. We have got a little bit to talk about. We're not going to keep it too long. He is obviously a busy man. How are you?
Every time I get a chance to come back to Memphis, usually I have a good experience.
Yeah.
Gus's fried chicken last night.
That's the...
I mean, it's standard.
I have a
standard
list. That's the first thing that was on it.
Has to be.
So tell me how Gus's was.
Well, I mean, I've been there several times. And last
always
night
good.
was Matt Hasselbeck's birthday, one of our esteemed colleagues. So we were going to go down there to shoot anyway, right, for our, you know, just for some shots for the broadcast. And I'm like, well, why don't we just... It's Matt's birthday. I don't think any of these guys have ever had Gus's. So, you know, they were so great to us, and I mean, DeMarco, who was managing last night, and Jennifer and everybody down there were so wonderful to us, so I certainly appreciate it. But, I mean, I've been going there for years. I mean, probably since my first trip to Memphis back in, 2012.
It's a good place, man.
So, for me, it's a gold standard, a staple, so I'm glad I got to share that with a lot of folks last night.
The restaurant is kind of like a hole in the wall.
And trust me, I think everybody was kind of looking around like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It
holds, 30 people inside?
Yeah, it's not much. About probably 30 people or so.
I think the food is better at places like that.
I've always appreciated the small... Like, my mom and dad, when I was younger, when I was probably, 13, 14 years old, 15, 16, actually, they had a restaurant, a little hole-in-the-wall, fast food joint in suburban Chicago. So, I grew up, working in places like that. Right. Those are, my first jobs, you know, so... For me, there's always a little bit hint of nostalgia for places like that, so I always appreciate it. And obviously, I think you're right. I think the food's just a little bit better. You know, it just feels a little bit more
there's
real.
There's just something about it. You don't have to worry so much about rules or how you look or anything like that. You just go in and eat a good meal, and you're good to go from there.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday night football. That is new. You were on Fridays. You've done everything, and we'll get to everything. But Thursday night football, this is a new crew.
Yeah.
New, and it's working really well. You got Hasselbeck, you got Molly McGrath, you got Pat McAfee, who was just in here a little bit ago.
Yep.
How did this come about? Was this just they threw you all together?
It kind of felt like that. I think when they're trying to put crews together, they're just looking for combinations that work, you know, chemistry and things like that. And Matt was looking at, Matt had done a few games for us. He'd done some Fox games on the NFL a few years back before he got hired at ESPN. And I think he wanted to kind of take that step further. And I think he really likes doing games. I just feel like he loves the energy. He and Tim, his brother, worked together on a couple of games the last few years on Thursday nights. And I think it was a good fit for him because he can still do his NFL stuff over the weekend. But I think he was looking to do it a little bit more consistently.
That's got to be rough, right? Doing a Thursday night game, and then you've got, 2 days to prep for a Sunday.
What the great thing about Matt is just he's so smart. He's so well-prepared. I mean, he's so immersed in it, too. He's so easy. You listen to him on Countdown or you watch him at a game, it's just easy. He just sounds easy.
Yeah.
He knows it. He's
super smart.
In him, and it just comes out that way. So I think for him, Thursday was a great mix or a great fit. And I think they were looking to – you know, just trying to mix it up. I think I've gotten to a point where, I mean, I've had a different partner every year.
Yeah.
And part of that is good. Part of that, I hope none of that is bad. I think the main reason is, like, I've been lucky enough to move up a little bit.
Right.
You know, this was, you know, I guess it depends on who says it, but I think they think it's a promotion, and I think it is to be on Thursdays and be by yourself.
People watch, like, specifically for you guys.
Yeah.
And over the past few years, it has turned into, okay, Adam's calling this game. We got to make sure we're watching that game.
I'll take that it's, at any time. So,
you know, you tend to get some really fun, exciting matchups.
That is, I mean, I'm sure it's
that may be an understatement,
but I'll take it.
It's kind of the Joe Tess effect, right?
I'll take the torch. If nobody else wants it, I'll take the torch. I got no problem with that. Joe's a great friend of mine, and he's done a lot to mentor and help me out in my career, and I'll certainly take the mantle. I got no issue with that.
Oh, absolutely.
For the Tess effect. I don't know. We don't have a fun name for it or anything like that, but...
Not yet. The Amin effect, maybe.
It doesn't really have the same ring to it as Tess effect does. So maybe someday we'll come.
You had asked a question.
So he and I were talking, and I said, "Oh, this is really cool." Growing up watching games, I kind of always was very much a traditional two-man booth, and every time they threw a third guy in, it always drove me crazy. Until ESPN did it with Tony Kornheiser, and that was my favorite year of Monday Night Football. But it's
Mike
not
Tirico, Jaws.
That's
and
right,
Tony.
Jaws and Tony. But they threw somebody in that I kind of worshiped, that I loved growing up. You know, the surrogate father figure that I read and followed and watched. And so I came so much around on it. It drives me crazy in basketball, but in football, I really seem to like it.
I think you have to have that chemistry, though. And you know, go back to what we were talking about. Like, Matt is so easy that he can work with anybody.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I hope I've proven is that I can work with anybody. And I work with a new person just about every year. And again, part of that is promotion. Part of that is just trying to find the right mix. Other people move on. Other people move up or down. So it's just kind of played out that way that I've had a different partner, but I can work with anybody, I believe.
Yeah.
So when they said, hey, you're going to work with Matt, and it was only Matt for a while, it was like, yeah, let's do that. That'll be great.
That's perfect.
I can already do that. I was like, oh, yeah, that'll be easy. No problem at all. And then they told me Molly was back with us, and this is my third year, the last four working with Molly, and I've done softball and hoops with her and football, and I mean, she's one of my close friends, so that was a no-brainer. And then towards the end of the summer, Matt and I had a conversation on the phone, and he was saying, like, you know, there might be a chance that Pat McAfee might jump on the crew. And I was like,
Wait, what?
Like, the punter, Pat McAfee? So, like, started to think about it. And then I remembered he'd done that NFL game last year. And I was like, man, that was fun. Like, that was cool. Like, it was a 17 game. Like, he went nuts on the Matt Prater touchdown pass. And I was like, shoot, all right, we'll see how that goes. But it didn't really seem like anything was set in stone.
Right.
And Matt was just kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of pushing for him. I really think he'd be good at this. And I'm like, yeah, all right.
That makes sense that Matt would push for it.
Yeah. And Matt and Pat were teammates. They were buddies. Like, you know, they both speak very highly of each other. So I was like, all right, look, if it happens, we'll make that happen. So literally the day before, we are flying to Charlotte for our seminar. We have a company-wide seminar for college football.
Right.
Like executives,
like a big
producers,
symposium. Everybody's
big
there.
Symposium. All the announcers are there. All the reporters, all the writers are there. And the day before we're scheduled to fly down to Charlotte, our boss texts all of us, our producer, Molly, and Matt, and myself, and says, hey, jump on a conference call in a few hours. So, like, I kind of had a feeling that this is about to go down. And they basically told us, hey, Pat's going to join. We're announcing it today, and he'll be at the seminar tomorrow. So Pat's first day at ESPN was the day after he got hired. He gets thrust into this big room with all these executives and announcers. And, I mean, these are some of the cream of the crop type of people that we've watched for years.
Yeah.
And they just tell Pat, hey, can you, like, get everybody into the room and just start, you know, just... So first thing he's got to do on the job is, like, rally the troops to try to get into the room. And this is hurting cats. This is hurting, like, 500 cats or whatever it is. So he just starts yelling and just kind of being, you know, just loud and energetic. And
he's definitely good at that part.
And and everybody's like, what the hell's going on right now? And it's like, that's our partner.
Turns out he's good at it.
So we got to spend about a day and a half together, the four of us and our producer, and just kind of get to know each other a little bit. And then Pat had me and Matt come down to Indianapolis maybe a week or two, maybe before our first game.
Okay.
And that was huge because we just got to hang out. We kind of made funny videos and like improv some stuff, and Pat put out some videos. Like, he's got a whole team. His team's awesome, and they're
so we saw the truck outside.
Yeah, they travel now. So every week, like, if we're doing a game, like, he basically says, hey, our show is on for 2 hours. If you just want to wander in, yeah, feel free. So we're like, all right, I wandered in last week. I think Molly or Matt kind of wandered. Yeah, it's all good. So.
I had known that you had done the solid verbal stuff before.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw you hopping on with him, I was like, well, they're going to be here.
Yes.
So I'm going to hit him up and just see.
Absolutely.
So, and it worked out okay. Yeah, Dad, like, you hit me up. It was kind of last minute, but it worked out all right. So you started in college radio.
Yeah.
And you worked, you know, doing what, minor league baseball, and now you do everything. Like, you are constantly on that channel. How did you build to, like, what made you want to do it first, I guess? We'll start with that one.
Yeah.
Like, was there an influence maybe that...
You know, I had messed around with it a little bit in high school, but it wasn't really a thing that I thought I was, like, it was going to be a career. I didn't think it was a career. I didn't know it was a career. I didn't know this was a job that you could have. And I had a friend of mine who's actually the play-by-play man down at Florida Atlantic now. His name's Ken Levicka. He's from my hometown, a few years older than me. His mom was my preschool teacher, good buddy of mine. And he was a student at Valparaiso in Indiana.
Okay.
And about 75 miles east of where I grew up in suburban Chicago. And he said, I know you've messed around with this. If you want to come and try it, like, if you want to pursue it, if this is something you're interested in, come on, come here. Like, I'll put you on the air. Like, he was going to be the general manager of the radio station. I was like, all right, I don't really know what I'm doing. I was applying to, like, business programs at Bradley and, like, Western Illinois. And I'm like, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was a smart guy, like, grade-wise. I played a lot of sports. I was in theater, and I played violin, and I sang, and I was in all these programs, and I did a lot of things. So it's almost like a reflection of now. Like, I'm not very good at anything, but I'm good at a lot of different things. You know? So,
well, I think you are a master at the football thing, because people love it.
I appreciate that, man. I think it was kind of an early reflection of it, where I was just like, well, I like all these different things. I don't really know what I'm great at or what I want to pursue or what I really, like, can lock into. And
once you realized you could get paid for calling a hot dog eating
guy. Yeah, exactly. Then I was like, well, this seems like it might be a vibe. So I go to Valpo, go straight to the radio station.
Okay.
And you couldn't get me out of there. You couldn't get me to leave. Like, I would sleep there. Like, I would work there day and night. And it was just something I became super passionate about. And I think at that point, I'm like, you know what? This is probably what I want to do. I think this is a good avenue to pursue. So I was good for a college kid. You know, I won some awards, like, for college radio, which is always cool. And then, you know, maybe... That doesn't really do much for you when you're looking for a job. You know, you're just like, who's hiring? And this is like 2009, 2010. It's hard. Like, you know, a decade ago, it was really hard in this industry. Not to say it's any easier now, but there certainly weren't as many opportunities at that point. So I applied to a bunch of jobs, started doing minor league baseball for a couple of years during the summertime. First while I was a student, and then right after I finished college. Like, man, what am I going to do now? You know, baseball season's over. I ain't making any money. Like, that wasn't much. It was a $500 a month job. I was working in Gary, Indiana, which was an hour from Addison, Illinois. So that's an hour drive there early in the morning.
Yeah. Hour drive back.
9 to 5, you're there. Then you do the game. So 9 to 5, I'm doing, like, marketing. I'm doing Adobe Photoshop stuff. I'm doing game notes and all that and doing press releases. And then 5 o'clock, my day is done officially. Then I'm going to go do the game for free. And that's only three innings a night. And it's just because I wanted to do it. The guy who hired me was at Valpo. He was he graduated before I was a student, but he was also an assistant SID there. It's like, I'll bring you on. If you want to do it, I'll bring you on. I can only pay you X amount, but if you want to do the games, I'll give you three innings every night. And if you want to drive to the road games, you're more than welcome to. And there were a couple cities, you know, Joliet, Schaumburg, not too far away, about an hour south, 20 minutes east. You know,
it was you're not going to get paid. But if
you
want the experience,
you can come on. I trust you. I heard you on the air in when you were a student. I'll give you a shot. I said, all right, that's awesome. So that was my first gig, was doing minor league baseball, an hour there, 9 to 5, do the game 7 to 10, do some work afterwards, 11 o'clock drive back. You're back at 12, you know, midnight, back in suburban Chicago.
Good gracious.
Hey, do you think that having, like, a background, well-versed background in performance, doing theater, music, stuff like that, helps you with being comfortable being on the air?
100%.
So Gary's played on stage in front of lots of people, and he's comfortable behind a mic. We first started doing this. It took me a while to get comfortable in just behind a mic.
Sure.
And then we started doing YouTube, and it's just like a whole different thing.
Being on camera is weird, slightly different.
It's a weird, like, idea.
You have to be comfortable in your own skin, but there's just so much more about what am I doing while somebody else is talking?
Yeah.
Now, what am I doing? Because I'm a big Italian guy, and I talk with my hands. Okay, now we're on camera, and I got to kind of, okay, can they even see my hand? All right, so now I can be comfortable. It's up here. Good. And
it's little stuff like that that people don't think about. You know? And sometimes it's a good thing not to think about those things. Sometimes it's good. You know, I'll say that for, like, you know, a lot of people that we work with, they make it so easy. You know,
yeah.
And it's never easy. Like, I'm not making it sound like it's rocket science or anything, but it doesn't. This is a weird
situation
to put a human being into.
It's a very specific skill set.
Skill set. So, yeah. Like, I understand that, but I think that helped. Like, I was doing plays when I was 15. I was playing violin in front of crowds when I was 11. You know, like, it became kind of second nature.
Right.
So, and you kind of learn how, you know, singing and acting, you learn how to project, and it, like, helps your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that helped out. So, I guess it's as natural of a transition, maybe, to go from that stuff to doing what we're doing, what we're all doing now.
Okay.
So I guess that helped for sure. But I didn't have a whole lot of TV experience. My first TV like event came when I was working in Iowa. So after I did a couple seasons of minor league baseball, I was unemployed for a while, freaking out like every other college student, you know, post grad does. And they're like, man, I can't. What am I gonna do? I got no job. I'm gonna end up bussing tables. I gotta do something. You know, I'll work wherever I need to work, but I was getting to that point, and finally I got a call from a small radio station, about 3,000 people in this town, Spare Lake, Iowa. And they called me and said, you know, hey, we have your resume. Do you want to come in for an interview? Drove 500 miles, about 8 hours west to, it's about 15 minutes south of the Minnesota state line and about 75 miles east of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's a little pocket in northwest Iowa. And I interviewed for the job, and they said, we like it. If you want it, it's yours. And I had no idea that it was going to end up being what it was. I mean,
Everything started kind of steamrolling after
that. Right?
It snowballed,
you know. But that 9 month period, it's like this town is like awesome in the summertime.
Yeah,
like awesome, like great.
I can imagine weather's nice.
50% of the real estate there comes from like lake houses. So it's just like everybody's out on the lake. Everybody's got a boat. Bars open up during the summer. Restaurants, all this stuff. And I was there from October to April when there was just like 85 inches of snow combined. They're one of the worst winters in Iowa state history. So I had good timing clearly on that. But it was a job I cut my teeth in. I did games every day pretty much, basketball, football, wrestling meets. I did everything, doing the sports cast, hosting a jockey shift, hosting the coaches show, getting to know people. And that was a great experience. Cause
it's networking, right?
Network helps. It wasn't even that
much. I think it's grinding.
I think it was just trying to grind it out. Like, people talk about paying their dues, and that means different things to different people.
Right.
I mean, you guys have done it in a different way, but you guys have paid your dues. Like, I think I've done it in a different way, but I feel like I've done that in some capacity. So I think it was just reps. Like, there are some people, and I think you guys would agree, there are some people that are naturally good at this. Like, they're just like, you see him,
I agree
like,
with
man,
that.
He sounds good, she sounds good, they're meant to be on camera, whatever it is. And I'm not one of those people. Like, I needed to do it a lot to learn how
the
mechanics worked and what I sounded like. And I'm an over-analyzer, I think, probably. That's probably part of it, too.
I think a lot of us are.
Yeah.
That's how I am with gambling.
Sure.
I just over-analyze every pick.
Sometimes you got to go with your gut, and sometimes you have to just do it to get better at it.
Yeah.
For me, that was important. So that job was tremendously important in getting better. I missed baseball. I missed doing games every day and kind of focusing more on the play-by-play side rather than doing the jockey shifts or doing the farm and tractor report.
Probably not
in my wheelhouse personally. I could have told you about the John Deere X9 about 10 years ago. Can't really give you much insight on that right now. But
none of the updates.
I don't know the updates on it. My software is not really up to date on that. But I went back to baseball. I got a job in New Jersey. I did two seasons of minor league baseball out there. And I think it was just being on the air for 3 hours by yourself every single night. Like, those were invaluable.
So by yourself, it helped because you've got to be able to fill air, right?
You just have to be able to and know when not to say anything and be like, hey, crowd's going nuts. Let's just lay back. Hey, you can hear the vendors or whatever. Or, man, this is a 10-2 game in the sixth inning. I got to tell some stories, man. Like, we got to get through this together.
Stop making stuff up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
He hit 79 home runs in a week? Man, that's incredible.
That's crazy.
He's making stuff up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you just start coming up with all sorts of stats. So, legalized sports gambling has kind of taken over.
Sure.
You see TV shows everywhere, right? Websites, the Action Network,
absolutely.
All these different ones. Has it changed the way that you call a game or the way that you prep for a game at all?
Prep, not a ton, because all I really want to know is, hey, what's the line? What's the total?
Yes.
As long as I know the spread and the total, I'm pretty good. Like, But I'm doing the – I did the Jet-Patriot game on radio on Sunday, and that's a 23-point spread.
That's got to be
– You know, Patriots came in 23-point favorites. And, yeah. and again, 20 to 23, whatever, depending on where you got it at. But that's all any of us really cared about after the first half. It was 30 to nothing at one point.
Yeah,
Patriots.
That's right.
So –
So it's like, are they going to cover?
So eventually, like, especially in the NFL, and it's pro sports, so it's a little bit different than doing a college football game. We're a little bit more subtle on TV. We're a little bit more subtle during a TV broadcast. We're a little bit more subtle because it is a college football game. But with the NFL, I'm doing a radio broadcast 30 to nothing, man. Like, all anybody really cares about is their fantasy points. So we keep updating Brady, keep updating some of the receivers that you might have, running backs. And once, hey, Jets get a touchdown and a muff punt, suddenly, it's a 23-point spread. That was an impactful play. Jared Stidham comes in for Tom Brady, three passes in, throws a pick six. That's a very impactful touchdown all of a sudden for a lot of people.
So, so for the outcome of the game, it doesn't necessarily matter.
It mattered to someone.
But it matters to some people.
Right. The gambling and the fantasy aspects have changed what the important plays in a game are.
100%.
And it's like, that's insane to me, just how big it is. All right. I know you got places to go. You got people to see. We'll end it up right there. Hopefully, you'll be back in town soon enough.
Absolutely.
And we may just do a phoner at some point, get you back
in.
We do appreciate you having us. Us having you. Good gracious.
Thank you for your time.
No, guys, it's a pleasure.
We really do appreciate this.
Happy to see you guys doing so well, man.
As always, show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got six incredible sports books. You can find more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. You can find us at winningcureseverything.com. Go find Adam on Twitter. What is it, at Adam Amin?
You got it.
Simple enough. So go check him out on Twitter. Go listen to the broadcast. Watch the broadcast. All the wonderful things. We will see you guys again next week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.